ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Well, on Friday, we had our great visit with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. And then later on Friday, I read on ESPN how the coach suffers a minor stroke. And we just caught our breath as we were all, we were all scared. Said prayers for Mike Ditka. And lo and behold, you can't keep Iron Mike down. He's up and ready to go. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the people that had a concern. I just, you're there and you know what you want to do, but your body won't let you do it, and that's basically what happened to me. I mean, speech and movement and everything else. So there was something going on there, and luckily, the friend of mine that I was with, he said, you better go to the hospital. I said, no, I just drive home. I'll be okay. No, but I went to the hospital, and then, you know, all the tests were running. They found out, but... It really an eye opener. You know, you go through life, and like I said, you're speeding down the highway of life, and everything's okay, and you think you're invincible, and then boing, bang, and for no reason it comes up. You know, it comes on because I think I'm fairly healthy, but then again, it happens.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's the right thing to do is go in. They say quick response is key, and I'm glad you did that. But I'll tell you, too, we had of course, Unity High School going to the state. I saw a lot of people around town and around Champaign, and just about everyone. Hey, how's the coach?
Yeah.
How's Mike doing?
You
so,
thank everybody for their concern, but I think I'm supposed to be around for a bit longer. If I wasn't, you'd take me anyway. So I think I'm supposed to be here.
We
for
need
reason.
You, coach.
Yeah.
We need you.
Well, that's what Johnny said. I mean, I selfishly was thinking, shoot, man, this guy's huge for us. And then Johnny said, we need him on the planet.
We don't know about that.
Yeah, we do.
It's good to feel better.
Yeah, we need you on the planet.
But I tell you too, Steve, Mike can't go get a checkup or check something out without it being across the...
It's not like you can just quietly
go check something out, Mike. Everybody's going to hear
it. What happened to Diana's phone? What happened to your phone? It had to explode. I mean, everybody was trying to
reach...
Well,
my phone was, I had it off for a while, but I had it on, and I had millions and millions of texts. I apologize to some of the people.
Yeah,
I couldn't answer all the texts. But I tried to answer them all and then told people that I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate. I feel good right now. I know what I'm doing. I'm cognizant. I can move everything. And that wasn't the fact on Friday. I mean, so, you know, it was quite a change for me. And until you go through one of these experiences, I don't think any of us know what it is. I had no idea what it was. And then you find out, hey, I want to do this, but your body won't let you do anything. So, but it's all good now, really. I feel real good right now.
Well, all right. Mike, did you have any time at all to watch the New Orleans Saints play a little defense?
Well, I said 3 weeks ago, if anybody would have heard me on TV, I said, listen, if the Saints show any significant improvement on defense, be careful, because they can score points as well as anybody in the game, including New England. So it's just a matter. And now they are playing a little bit better on defense. Now, I take for granted they played Oakland, who I don't know what the hell they can do on offense, but, but I mean, really, they're playing better, but their offense has not slowed down one bit. It's still clicking at a real high rate. So, hey, they're going to be a factor before it's over.
I'll tell you, too, if the Saints defense scores on you, you are in trouble.
Yeah.
Exactly, and I guess they got the 49ers next week.
Yep.
Right, well and that's
a
test.
Then they have the Falcons the week after, right?
Yes, that's right. So
their whole season comes down to the next 2 weeks. I think
exactly.
That's true.
Right.
And even if they lost one of those, it wouldn't be out of the question they could get in. Because I don't know what the heck's going on with the rest of the league.
Well, it's all around the board, I'm telling you.
Six and four.
And you watch Houston, you know, how good they've been. Now, look at the last couple of weeks. They look like they're very vulnerable. But, hey, they're still a good football team. I still like what the Packers are doing. But they're so beat up physically that, you know, I don't know if they can get in it or not. But, I thought they found a huge way to win yesterday. And somebody, Dallas, they win ugly, but, you know, a win's a win. There's no ugly win. I should take that back. No ugly win.
One thing about Houston, Atlanta, they're sure not peaking early because...
No, that's right, exactly. And maybe you could say that's something good because they always seem to, you know, peak and then almost they hit the playoffs and they kind of fell back. Maybe they'll get better. Who knows?
Right. So
all right, Bears tonight in San Francisco, always a tough venue. And then, of course, Cutler not playing.
Well, Jason Campbell, I think, is a good football player, guys. I don't know. When I watched him the other day, I thought he handled himself very well. I mean, I thought he had a lot of poise out there. I don't see any problem with him playing. And I think there's a couple keys in the game. I think, one, the Bears must stop the 49ers running game.
That's hard
because
to do.
That's going to be the key. If they can stop the running game, I think they can handle the passing game. Now, can they put some points up on the 49er defense? Well, I think they can, and it might come in special teams too. So, you know, you got to look at it. The Bears know what they have to do right now. You know, they're going out there, hostile environment, you know, and nothing Jim Harbaugh would like to do more than beat his old team. So I think this ought to be pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to watching it.
What about Smith? I haven't even heard of
him. Yeah, because
he
had
a concussion. He went out with a concussion last week, and I didn't know if he was playing.
He is going to play. He's going to play, from all I understand. And which the Kaepernick kid is not a bad kid either, but I think Smith, Alex Smith, will be okay. But that's not their game. I mean, he is more of a manager. I have to say that, and I hate to use that word because they don't really rely on what he does to win. I mean, they rely on what a lot of other people do to win.
Right, he's more in there to hold the line. He's not. He's one of those guys you don't want him to lose the game. Cause
no, I don't mean the downplay. He's a heck of a football player. I think he's very underrated. But I think, again, this Jim Harbaugh's philosophy is team all the way. And what he wants to do is impose his will on you. So that he wants to line up and run that football on you first. And if he can do that, you know, you can break down another team if you can beat him physically. And that's what he tries to do.
ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. This segment of Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny brought to you by Big Grove Tavern. All right, it just wouldn't have been right. And Johnny said it last week. If an SEC team isn't going to be considered a national title game, it wouldn't be right. And so you had the number one and two teams lose. Notre Dame is number one, Mike.
Well, you know, they deserve to be number one right now. There's no question about it. They finish out against USC next week and win. Yeah, they'll be number one. But I'm telling you right now that Alabama, in my opinion, is still probably as good a team as they're in the country. I don't see Georgia enough. Kansas State, that really surprised me. Oregon didn't surprise me as much because Stanford's a pretty good football team. But, you know, I was really surprised by the Kansas State thing. They really didn't look good in that football game on offense or defense. So, you know, in saying that, I don't know. They moved all these other teams up there, and they dropped Kansas State down to five. But I don't know. They took Oregon out of the whole equation. I think they're still a pretty good football team.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I was telling Steve, maybe we should bring in some UN observers with Alabama against Notre Dame because – that could be a heck of a game. But, you know, Steve, I've seen Notre Dame. You know, they've got some help sometimes. Notre Dame, you can't sell those guys short. So.
I tell you, it's true, but I don't know. I tell you, Alabama, I don't know how they lost that game.
Yeah.
They look like men playing boys. I tell you, they're good.
Well, Alabama, I tell you how they lost. The A&M guy came in with a heck of a plan. He's got Johnny Football.
Yep.
Johnny Football's good.
And he was on the numbers, and they just got him off guard and started that passing attack that Alabama hadn't seen any quite like it. And A&M played a good football game, but I'll tell you something. Alabama is semi-pro.
So if that happened, if it all worked out to where Alabama plays Notre Dame and Miami for the national title, it could be 41-10. I mean, it really could. Alabama.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. It could be a blowout. No. And then again, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to Notre Dame's defense. I don't know how good they are. But when you look at what they're doing, I mean, I don't care who they play. Nobody does anything against it. So I would have to say that they're pretty good. But then again, I go back and I look at Pitt should have beat them. But Pitt didn't beat them. You know, that's it. You know, Pitt's not very good. They should have beat them, though. And they played them right to the teeth. But I would think, you know, if you put points on the board against Notre Dame, you might get them out of their comfort level. But then again, Golson's playing good. I don't know. It's a pretty good football team, but then it's going to go as far as the defense takes it.
Well, I'll tell you, too, Steve, in college football, I think it's subject to what we call the Heisenberg principle. It's a principle of physics where the act of observing actually changes the result. So when you start saying Alabama's going to Creighton Notre Dame,
yeah.
Alabama's going to,
yeah.
then all of a sudden the Alabama guys are like, they're kind of, you know, well, we got this. And the Notre Dame guys have this chip on. So everything
yeah.
changes.
Yeah,
and all of a
know.
Sudden you have a great classic sporting event.
Yeah. Well, and also Notre Dame could go out to USC and lose.
Well, there you go, too. I mean, no kidding. USC's going to be just laying for them.
Yeah.
You know, well, and then again, you know, they're not going to have their quarterback. So you watch. They've got to play. Believe me, they'll step up and play a good game, and this is kind of their last hurrah, too. So, I mean, this would be a big feather in their cap, too. So Notre Dame's got no cakewalk, that's for sure.
Boy, remember the USC-Notre Dame rivalry of the 70s?
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
tell you, that used
Great
to be a bit one of the bigger games of the year every
yeah.
year.
Yeah, well, that's because rivalries are good because both teams are good.
Right.
So when both teams aren't good, you know, the rivalry isn't so high anymore. You know, it'd be like New Orleans and Atlanta. That's a good rivalry because both teams are pretty good.
Yeah, I've been trying. Now you mentioned I'm trying to think of a good Cubs rivalry, but I haven't.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
I heard. All right, 7:45, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. All right, let's go to the audio tape. It's shopping week, and there are people already camping out at Best Buy.
Our family, when they get done eating, they'll come over here and bring us our turkey and our stuffing, and we'll all sit down. We'll set a table up, and we'll all sit down and eat.
I think it's crazy. There is nothing in Best Buy worth staying out here in a tent.
Could be good news.
Overall, holiday sales will grow to about $586 billion. That's about 4.1% higher than last year's holiday season.
All right, I think Best Buy is a $148 32-inch television. Mike, they're camping out. I'm stunned by...
No, it's kind of amazing, and I have to say this honestly. I think it's stupid whether you get the first one or the 100th one. What difference does it make? You're
well,
going to get it. You're going to pay for it. You know, they're not going to run out of them. So, you mean, it is what it is. But if you think you got to get there 3 days in advance, God bless you.
Well, and I'll tell you that it's quite a sociological phenomena. I don't think I want...
The other thing is, too, I mean, I know there's a sale going on now, but it seems to be a little strange that if you want to buy a TV, you're going to wait till you can get it for $20 less. That's
a lot of sense to me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's amazing, the psychology here.
Well, it might be a sport for some,
yeah,
too.
And I think the biggest difference this year is they're handing out these rain checks. So if you get in the building the first hour, you get one. A lot of times they had like four on sale at that price. And But now they're giving rain checks, so people are saying, I got one for sure.
Oh, okay.
If I just wait 4 days.
Well, I hope we don't have any sort of stampeding the doors.
All right, to San Francisco. I didn't know nudity was legal.
San Francisco may not be a safe haven for nudists much longer. Lawmakers planning to vote tomorrow on an ordinance banning nudity in most public places. The proposal from Supervisor Scott Weiner carries a $100 fine for a first offense, a third violation punishable by up to a year in jail. Weiner initially opposed the idea but changed his mind following complaints about men strutting their stuff in the city's Castro district. Exemptions for taking it all off would apply to permitted street fairs and parades. Steve Rappaport, Fox News Radio.
All right, so as always, San Francisco, live free. Wow.
I'm canceling my vacation if they're going to make it.
That's just where you want to take the kids, right there. That's a good place to take the kids.
There's a few Bear fans out there today, so we'll see. San Francisco, I didn't know you could walk around naked, but I guess I shouldn't be shocked. I didn't know they allowed that still.
No, I never knew that either, Steve. I was seeing that, first of all, that you'd have a very big ego one way or the other to walk around naked.
I don't know. Again, San Francisco, I love visiting the city, love the Chinese district and their Asian.
It's quite a city. Well, we'll get some reports from the Chicago fans out there this week, so maybe we can they can tell us what happened.
Yeah, all right, to the fiscal cliff, this story yesterday.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says it's not unreasonable to have the wealthy pay a little more in taxes, but he notes...
We do have to cut spending. We do have to look at entitlement reform that doesn't threaten the existence of important programs like Medicare and Medicaid.
While Georgia Rep. Tom Price also tells CNN State of the Union he's pleased to hear Democrats talking about cutting spending and says there's room for negotiations, but not on raising taxes.
You know how many days that pays for the federal government? 8 days, not 8 months. Not 8 weeks, 8 days.
GOP leaders vow to block any increase in tax rates and say they'd support a tax reform plan that includes closing loopholes and limiting deductions.
All right, so you have at least somebody saying, gosh, we need to cut spending. I thought that was a positive aspect of that.
Yeah, I don't. They're not going to cut enough. We're over $1 trillion over. The raise taxes on the risk, it's a question is what is the real agenda item there? And I think it's just to keep the fight going. And we've talked about it before, Steve, but I got some quick numbers for you.
Yep.
The increase of that top 1% will raise $50 or $60 billion. Forget about running the government for 8 days. We owe $16 trillion in treasury bonds, or 5.64%. That's $800 billion a year in interest on what we already owe. That's roughly $70 billion a month. It's going to raise $60 billion if we raise taxes on the rich. So it won't run the government for 8 days. It won't pay the interest on what we already owe for a month. So it's not going to do anything. So what is the game when that becomes the big chip on the table? In other words, Mike, they're not really trying. And then, of course, we have to cut spending. We have to cut $1 trillion out of $3 trillion just to balance the budget. So
yeah, well, John, what you're saying, it makes sense because you know what you're talking about. But people really don't want to hear that. That they don't understand what you're saying, and they don't. They hear, well, the rich people are not going to pay any more taxes. Well, that's not good. Instead of saying, okay, we're all going to pay taxes, everybody's going to get some skin in the game. The richer people will pay a little bit more. You get rid of some of these loopholes. You reduce the entitlements with the ones that you can. Stop your spending a little bit. There is a way to do it. It's going to take a lot of people to probably bend and agree on something, but it can be done. If they want this country to go forward, they have to do something.
You know, I got another set of numbers for you real quick. That top 1%, all the money they make, all of it's about $1 trillion, a whole pile of money. They already
send in every dollar they make.
They send in about $400 billion of it now, which I think a pretty fair share.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, John. Everybody's going to have – maybe it's a sliding scale down to where if you make under $20,000, $50,000, you only pay a very small percent. But you pay something. You pay something because you have an obligation.
Right.
Yeah. And get rid of all these loopholes, all these write-offs, I think would really help.
And it's only a few million people at that rate, so it's not enough.
Right.
So if they sent in another $5 billion, $50 billion to make it $450 billion, it just doesn't make any difference. And if they send in everything they make, everything, and this is the business, a lot of that is money from businesses, then you're still $500 billion in the hole.
Yeah.
And then all the people that are driving the economy have no money.
That's right.
So exactly. That won't work.
Yeah.
So it's right, John. You hit it right on the button, but maybe someone like you should get up in front of these politicians and explain the darn thing.
I think Ditka Kachaturian, that's a great ticket, or Kachaturian Ditka, whatever.
It has to be Ditka Kachaturian.
Sure, what John's saying is right, but people don't want to think about the numbers. I mean, it's too complicated for them. But, hello, that's as simple as you can put it. You can do anything you want to do in this area. If you don't change the other area, there's no benefit.
No, and I think that's what disappoints me in the whole leadership. They haven't been able to communicate that. I don't know if a lot of them want us to even be thinking about that. And so, as a result, the problem isn't getting solved, which is really all. My concern is, are we going to solve this problem, and what will happen when we get to 2020?
John, I think they want to do it. I think what they don't want is see who gets credit for it.
Yeah, I think
that
really
bothers me.
Yeah.
Who cares?
We're polarizing, no doubt. Finally, what do you do about this? This is Gaza. It's day six, Israeli-Palestinian, all-out war, it appears, at least on the doorstep of it all. I don't know. If you sit back and you say, what would you do if you're president of the United States about this, Johnny? I don't know what the solution is here.
Well, I mean, that's been a question for quite some time, since 1948 anyway.
Yeah.
But now they're having another flare-up, and of course, things are pretty shaky right there, Mike. So that's a lot of concern. And
well, it really is because, I mean, if it were the Palestinians were to get what they want right now, you know what? It wouldn't make any difference because they want something else. You know what they're trying to do is wipe the Israelites off the map. They're going to get rid of Israel. That's what they really ideally want, and that's not going to happen. without a major, major conflict.
I mean, it's true. It does appear that the only solution in the minds of the Palestinians is no Israel.
No Israel.
Israel's not buying that.
And Israel, this was Israel's land from the get-go.
Well, and of course, that's the big argument. Yeah, this was the promised land.
Didn't the Muslims take it at some point in history and then give them back to the Jewish state?
Right, it's gone back and forth. And we, of course, the United States, at the end of World War II, reestablished Israel. And that has never gone over with the Middle East. The Middle Eastern countries just didn't like that, haven't ever liked it, don't want it, and that's where we are right now. So
they're not going to move. So what do you do? How do you possibly, when you have that attitude of we've got to wipe them out, we've got to annihilate them, how do you deal with that if you're Israel?
You try to talk sense into them, saying, listen, this is how it's going to be. You got to quit shooting each other. It's no fun when everybody's shooting at each other.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Well, Mike, do you have any idea if you're going to do ESPN this weekend, going to have another weekend off? What do you think?
No, I think I'm going to be able to go this weekend. I just got to lay low a little bit for a few days. I'm going to do my radio show out of the restaurant tomorrow, and then I'll take it easy through Thanksgiving and Friday, and then I think I'll be able to go Saturday.
You're going
to
hang around? You're going to eat at the restaurant this week? You're going
to
hang low?
Well, I don't have much choice now. I was going down to Florida, but Diana came back up here, so we'll spend it up here. We'll probably eat at the restaurant. I mean, it's good food. I know that.
Yeah, I know that. Well,
it's probably usually a pretty big day, too, up there.
Yeah, we really have been fortunate that we have a lot of reservations, so that'll be good. So maybe I'll go over and say hello to some of the people, and they'll be surprised to see me.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, you know, Stevie's got Gracie, Miss Teen Illinois, up there in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, we'll be up there. We're going to Grace is the Miss Illinois Outstanding Team, Miss America. She'll be in that parade. And so we'll be up there Wednesday night, and then Thursday.
Well, give me a call
Thursday. So you're gonna be you're really gonna go out, Mike? You're gonna be inundated.
No, I can avoid that. I can go out and I can put my disguise on.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, God bless you, Mike. We love you, and we think you're amazing.
All right, thank you, guys. God bless. I'll talk to you this week, Steve.
Yep. Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
See you later.
It's Mike Ditka.
Sounds great.
He sounds great. Well, I tell you what, Johnny, you never know, right? You live every day full.
Uh-huh. Well, I can tell you Mike does, so you don't have to worry about that.
Well, and I know that the first thing Diana said when we talked to her was, you know, maybe this will be a message to slow down. Well, he's not going to slow down.
Well, he doesn't. He's got a place to go. He doesn't want to slow down. He's always wanting to do something, and he's got a lot of energy, and he's interested, and he's really, really lives life to the fullest. So it's a good role model for us. He's a good guy, too, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness. No, he's just unbelievable. You just don't meet him. And yet, I tell you what, he first time ever picked him up at the airport. Johnny's a little late. Bowie's coming up with the Dragon Wagon. I don't know what he was driving.
Well, we were a little bad. I don't know why. We were behind our time.
Well, he came. He was in my Sequoia. And he kept getting in and out, in and out. He doesn't sit very well. He said, well, if he's coming, nothing we can do, nothing we can do. If he's coming, he's nothing we can do, nothing we can do. I said, he's just, well, I'm going, please, Johnny, get here. Please, Johnny, get here. So it was, he's on the move all the time.
Well, and actually, he can sit and relax, but he likes to do something like playing cards.
He likes to do. He's got to be doing it. When Philo, he was going to these football games 3 hours early for the Bears when the Bears played here because he was ready to go.